Welcome this morning. This morning we're going to finish off looking at John chapter 6. And one aspect we won't be covering in the sermon, but is very important, is found in this chapter where the Jews complained about the Lord because he said that he was the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" And this is often a response of people to the word. It seems to be something very human, particularly when it's read at a surface level. And one would look at the word, and if you don't go beyond the surface and begin to try and work with the literal sense, then what begins to happen is that, or what can happen is that, people can be put off. And it's interesting that in this chapter it talks about the Jews taking offence, that the Lord was an offence to them. And it's because they couldn't grasp that he was divine. And people, they come to the word and they struggle with this idea that the fullness of God is here. That there is an internal sense within the literal words, and that sense is living. It's the Spirit of the Lord. And the literal sense is his body. It clothes that Spirit. And so the Lord makes himself available to us as bread. Bread that gives life to the world. Now that world is the world of the human mind. It is bread for the spirit of man. And that is what the sacred scriptures are. So, as we look at this, we should never become so familiar or too familiar with the Lord's Word. We need to come to it fresh, every day, looking to the Lord to speak to us from it. Because this truly is the bread which is from heaven. And we're going to be exploring that a little more in today's sermon. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. As the beginning, you are the source of all that is, and in you is life, and that life is presented to us as your Word, which is the light that enlightens every person born into this world. You are our Creator and Maker, and you work continuously to bring all people into the life of heaven, that all might be made spiritually whole. Lord, we thank you for the freedom we have, and ask that we might be enlightened as to how we can use this gift more fully for the extension of your church in the hearts and minds of all people. Amen. So our reading this morning is John chapter 6, verses 35 to 46. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be taught by God. Therefore everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Now, reading this morning is from the work, The True Christian Religion, reading section 6. The reason why the whole of the sacred scripture teaches the existence of God is that its inmost meaning is concerned with nothing but God. That is, the divine proceeding from God. For Scripture was dictated by God, and nothing can proceed from God except what He Himself is, and this we call the divine. This resides in the inmost meaning of Scripture. However, in its lower forms, which are derived from the divine, the Holy Scripture is adapted to the grasp of angels and men. In these forms it is likewise divine, but in a different guise. In this case, the divine is called celestial, spiritual, and natural. These are merely the veils of God, since God Himself, as He exists in the inmost meaning of the word, cannot be looked on by any created being. For when Moses begged to see the glory of Jehovah, God told him that no one can see God and live. It is the same with the inmost meaning of the word, in which God is in His being and essence. Still the divine, which is inmostly contained in it, and is protected by such veils as adapt it to the grasp of angels and men, shines out like light passing through crystalline structures. But the light appears to differ according to the state of the mind which a person has acquired from God or from himself. For everyone who has acquired his state of mind from God, the sacred scripture is like a mirror in which he sees God, everyone in his own fashion. This mirror is composed of the truths which he learns from the word and absorbs by living his life in accordance with them. A first conclusion from this is that the sacred scripture is the fullness of God. So spiritual Christianity offers a very interesting perspective on the interrelationship or the connectedness of all things. And at the center of that connectedness is the Word. The Word. The Word is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end of all that is. So nothing that exists does so without having, in some way, a connection back to the Word itself as its origin and its source. All people live because the word of life gives them life, and it gives them that life freely. No one lives from themselves. So all people all created beings, are recipients of life from the Lord. And this is why it says of the Word that He is the bread of heaven that gives life to the world or the cosmos. But not everyone experiences the same quality of life or sense of the Lord's presence in their life. Some people have no interest at all in giving time to consider spiritual things. Others seek to have a form of spiritual life that leaves out any sense of the divine. And for others, their spirituality is so mixed up with natural desires and aspirations that they are unable to separate these from what is truly spiritual. But whatever a person's state of life in regard to spiritual things, the life they have is ultimately from the Lord, who is the source of all life, who is life itself. So when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," he is saying that true spiritual sustenance for the human spirit is found in Him as the Word. All human desires and aspirations can be fulfilled by the Word, which is why it says that the one coming into the world, which is the true I Am, the one coming to the Word, to the Lord Himself, will never hunger nor thirst. And this is a difficult thing for us to grasp at times, particularly in our natural state of life. But it is so true, and it is the central message of John's Gospel. So what do we mean by the Word? This is an important question, and one we need to have answered if we are able to take stock and reorientate our lives around it. But from the Scriptures, we are taught that we are inclined of ourselves to disbelieve, to be in states of doubt. So before we begin to explore the question as to what the Word is, we need to be aware of how the natural man responds to spiritual truths. Natural man is not willing to believe truths. It's willing to pretend it believes truths. But it is not willing to take truths and use them for the purposes for which they are given. So, in its actual relationship to truths, it lives in a state of scoffing at truth, because it finds truth offensive. And it can scoff in many different ways. And often, it is by saying that spiritual things are too abstract, or they're too vague, or they're of little practical value. But be assured that there is nothing more valuable than a right understanding of spiritual matters. For in these are the very issues of our life. What a person believes concerning the Word has a major impact on how they experience life. And we can see illustrated from the stories in the Scriptures themselves this resistance of the natural mind. And we can see it in those responses to the Lord when He's teaching. Those who refused to believe in Him. The response of those called the Jews to the Lord's Word are illustrative of the thoughts that arise up out of the proprium of every person when confronted with the truths that are being expounded here. Jesus has just said that He is the bread of life. In the very next verse, He now begins to point out that if we come to the Word from our natural man, we will not believe it. It says, "I am the bread of life. that the Word alone can fulfill our deepest, most pressing needs. But then he says, you have seen me and did not believe. Now the Word says this to warn us of our natural tendency in the proprium to demand more proof and to reason that if only we had more proof, then we would act. But as we have seen time and time again, regardless of the amount of proof furnished by the Lord, the proprium will never respond in a positive or affirmative way to what the Word teaches. In this chapter, the Lord continues to teach how it is that He is the bread that has come down from heaven. And He meets resistance every step of the way. This teaching followed on from a physical, sense-based demonstration of this truth in the feeding of the 5,000. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for those who have no real interest in applying spiritual truths to life. And we can see this pictured in our own experience. There is a side to us that is affirming of the Word being the Lord's presence with us. And there is another side that is full of doubt and unbelief. The side of us that believes the Word and is open to the Lord has been fed with the bread of heaven. It has experienced the power of truths from the Word to transform various aspects of our life. We have seen how new beliefs can change our view, how new beliefs can transform situations that we find ourselves in that are difficult, how new beliefs can lift us out of negative emotional states. We may even have been witness to remarkable transformations in the states of others as they have walked with the Lord through their obedience to the Word. And all these events and experiences and transformations, these are irrefutable signs of the power of the Word to sustain and nurture what is spiritual in the lives of people. And when we are in a positive, affirming state of life towards spiritual things, then when we reflect a little, we see the presence of the Lord as the living bread being distributed as that goodness throughout the whole of humanity, meeting infinite needs in a vast variety of states found within all people. When we view things from a higher perspective, we see this goodness and its spread throughout the world. To have this higher vision, to see things in a more universal spiritual context, with the divine as the source of all life, this is a state in which we come to more fully appreciate the reality of the Lord continually feeding the multitude. But then there are those times when we find ourselves in the midst of life's struggles, and our level of consciousness falls and centers in on ourselves and our problems. And when we're in these kind of states, those touches and those insights that we had when we were in a more spiritual state of life, they no longer seem as real. And this is because often our choice to keep states of negative emotion alive within ourselves keeps us from the reality of spiritual consciousness. Spiritual things become distant when natural concerns enter into the center of our focus. We lose sight of the miracles that the Lord delivers in every moment of life, and we become somewhat disconnected from the power of truth to lift us up and out of ourselves. the proprium in these states, these lower states, gains the upper hand and demands that the Lord give us proof of his power to deliver us. Show us a sign. So when our sense of self is in our proprium, we tend to disregard or dismiss our experience of the Lord's goodness in those times when our sense of self was more centered on the Word. We need to know this so that when we do find ourselves in negative states of life, we have some understanding at some level within us, some understanding of spiritual principles and how they work, so that these, in the midst of those lower states, can be awakened in those times of doubt and struggle. And then we can be helped. We can be drawn back into more healthy spiritual states of life. And in those we can find a reconnection, a conscious reconnection with the Lord as our life. This connection with the divine in the context of spiritual Christianity is centered on the sacred scriptures understood in the light of the heavenly doctrines. All this being taken together is the Word, because it is from the Lord. Now in our reading today from the True Christian Religion, it plainly states, and I quote, "The sacred scriptures are the fullness of God." The sacred scriptures are the fullness of God. The sacred scriptures are the bread which has come down from heaven. And it is to these, understood in the light of the heavenly doctrines, that constitutes the goodness that the Lord gives for the life of our inner world. When the scriptures speak of the world, it is the inner world of the mind that is meant. For this is the world into which the Lord is able to be received as the Word or the sacred scriptures. He dwells in us as the scriptures, and by means of these are our minds being recreated into a more complete human form. To think and act from the truths found in the sacred scriptures is to think and act from the Lord. This is what it is to have eternal life. Therefore Jesus says in verse 51, "I am the bread, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And indeed the bread which I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Now if we think in terms of material flesh, we will fail to grasp what the Word is saying here. And we see this in the responses of the Jews, who being naturally minded, couldn't see beyond the literal meaning of the words. In verses 52 to 58, "Then the Jews argued with one another, saying, 'How can this one give us his flesh to eat?' Then Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. The one partaking of my flesh and drinking of my blood has everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is truly food, and my blood is truly drink. The one partaking of my flesh and drinking my blood abides in me, and I in him. Even as the living Father sent me, and I live through the Father, also the one partaking of me, even that one will live through me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and died. The one partaking of this bread will live forever." Now the flesh and blood being spoken of here is spiritual, not material. And by spiritual is meant what belongs to the divine love and wisdom. To eat the flesh of the Son of Man is to take spiritual nourishment from the sacred scriptures through living from them. When we talk about fleshing out an idea, we mean to see it go from something perhaps a bit abstract and conceptual to something concrete and applicable in life. Similarly, the flesh of the Son of Man refers to the good activities and actions that flow from our understanding of the Word, for in these is embodied the love and wisdom that the Lord is, in a form that can be where He can be brought into contact with others and they into contact with Him. Actions that look to the good of the neighbour are how the Lord's love is made real and tangible for people. It is love and wisdom becoming incarnate, being fleshed out. It is the Word becoming flesh in our midst. A similar meaning is found in the idea of drinking His blood. The Lord is the Word, and the blood of the Word is the truth that flows from it into our minds. As blood is to the material body, so truth is to the spiritual body, the spiritual body being our mind. In the body, the blood cleanses and nourishes every cell. So in the realm of the mind, truth has the function of cleansing and nourishing the spiritual man. Truths give us new ways of seeing and thinking that can expose false ideas, that can clog up our thought processes and prevent the free flow of love, compassion and mercy through our lives towards others. When we look to truths, we can have our motives purified by the Lord. And this occurs as we begin to make changes in our life in response to the Word in the practice of repentance. So to eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man is to live from the Word in conscious acknowledgement that this is our God and very life. How can it be anything else? How else is eating and drinking the flesh and blood of the Lord to be understood than spiritually? The Word itself makes this clear when the Lord says, "It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh does not profit anything. The words which I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." The words are spirit and life. The Word is spirit and life. And by spirit is to be understood truth. The Word is divine truth. And by life is to be understood the good that comes from that truth. For goodness or love is the life that truth leads to. This is another way of saying, by saying that those words are spirit and life, is another way of saying that the Lord or the Word is His blood and His flesh. The spiritual man sees the truth of this, but because the natural man can't see what is spiritual, but only can hear and understand literally, such statements were found to be incomprehensible. Spiritually understood, the terms blood and spirit are used in the Word when referring to truths or to what belongs to faith. Whereas flesh and life are terms that are used when referring to love or goodness found in the life of genuine charity. For the new church, that word which we are to eat and drink is nothing other than the sacred scriptures found within the Bible. For these are, as we said before, these are the fullness of God. This single idea has the power to change people's lives once accepted. Once it is accepted, it cannot but change how people relate to the Word. to be in the Lord and to have the Lord in us, as He is in the Father and the Father is in Him, is to have the Word of life active and living within our minds. The livingness of the Word becomes more real as we choose to live from it. The faith of spiritual Christianity has a wonderful body of teaching in the heavenly doctrines, which are able to relate the Scriptures to the life of our spirits and so provide us with all we need to bring us into a conscious presence of the Lord as the bread of life. If we want to have life in ourselves, as the Word declares is needed, if we are to be raised up on the last day, then the provision made by the divine is the sacred Scriptures. We all have them before us. We all have access to them. We all have access to the heavenly doctrines. Let us be sure then that we are faithful to that which we have been given. Amen.